I'm Erin Holt, and this is the Functional Nutrition Podcast, where we lean into intuitive functional medicine. We look at how diet, our environment, our emotions, and our beliefs all affect our physical health. This podcast is your full-bodied, well-rounded resource. I've got over a decade of clinical experience, and because of that, I've got a major bone to pick with diet culture and the conventional healthcare model. They're both failing so many of us. But functional medicine isn't the panacea that it's made out to be either. We've got some work to do, and that's why creating a new model is my life's work. I believe in the ripple effect, so I founded the Functional Nutrition Academy, a school and mentorship for practitioners who want to do the same. This show is for you if you're looking for new ways of thinking about your health and you're ready to be an active participant in your own healing. Please keep in mind this podcast is created for educational purposes only and should never be used as a replacement for medical diagnosis or treatment. I would love for you to follow the show, rate, review, and share because you never know whose life you might change. And of course, keep coming back for more. Hello, my friends. I've got a fun, unique episode for you today in that we don't really talk about this kind of stuff that often. I have Sakina, the facial cupping expert, on the show. I've been kind of alluding to this interview for a little while. I found her work on Instagram. I followed her for a while, and then I eventually purchased her course, which has been a bit of a game changer for me. It just really helped me to lock in this facial cupping experience as a habit. So I do it every single night because of her course. So I reached out to her on Instagram to see if she would have any interest coming on the show to explain more about facial cupping and just other alternative treatments that we can, you know, DIY on our face if we're looking for that sort of thing. So Sakina is an acupuncturist. She's a massage therapist by trade, and she's the founder of The Facial Cupping Expert. She tells us more about her backstory because I was super curious, like how does one get into this sort of thing? So she does share her backstory, but she practiced acupuncture globally for 12 years and then started using these facial cups in addition to her needles to help alleviate the pain of her patients that had nerve conditions like peripheral neuropathy, and also to stimulate muscle strength in paralysis such as Bell's palsy. And so she'll talk about that on the show. She just realized how beneficial facial cupping was to all of her patients and decided to bring this more to life. And, you know, for so many people, COVID was this turning point in their businesses. And she explains how she brought it online and was able to reach a lot more people. So she is the creator of the 6-step facial cupping protocol for beginners. That's the official name of the course that I have. Strongly recommend. I think it's like maybe $50 or $60. It's not terribly expensive, but it really, really, really helps. If you're like, what the hell do I do with these things? She walks you through exactly what to do with them. She also has facial cupping for professionals course. So if you're a acupuncturist or you're an esthetician and you're looking to learn from Sakina, she also does that for you. Anyway, she's just going to talk a lot more about all things facial cupping, and I just enjoyed my time with her. So I hope you do too. Welcome, Sakina. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, Erin. I'm so happy to be here.
This is definitely a different type of podcast interview. So it's going to be really good for our audience. And I think really important, particularly with the uptick in Botox, in fillers, and the normalization of that, especially for younger and younger and younger people. My mind goes to like, what is the long-term implication of this? I talk a lot about autoimmunity. It's one of my kind of areas of my zones of genius as somebody who struggled with autoimmunity. And I think health is one of those things that we take for granted until we lose it. And then we go down the coulda, woulda, shoulda path. Like, I wish I had known that and I would have made different choices. So when I'm talking about this stuff, it's never my intention to dissuade anybody from making a choice that's right for them, or to even to judge anybody for their choices. Like, I understand it. I'm a woman. I live in this world too. I get the pressures that are being put on us. Totally.
Yeah.
But I just, knowing how the immune system works, understanding adverse immune reactions, knowing the rising rates of autoimmunity, knowing that autoimmunity is considered incurable, knowing how much easier it is to prevent autoimmunity than to try to reverse it. I want to give people alternatives because I'm not saying you shouldn't be vain or you shouldn't care about what you look like. It's more so to say like, hey, these are some alternatives if you are worried about injecting antigens into your face or your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But we all have our journey, you know, like we can say that, like, for example, I'm going to be 44. And I don't know if I would have had this mind 20 years ago, you know, so we also have our life journey to make some decision, and we can just inform what we know later on in life or what we feel is right later on in life. But we all have to, maybe, you know, some people, they have to be sick, or they have to have an accident, or they have to have like kind of a trauma to wake them up in some ways, you know, and start to make changes. So we all have our journey. And if it's not the right time for us, it's not the right time. You know, I really feel like we need to live our life like with a flow, you know, and just feel and just do what we feel is right at the moment for us, you know. Yeah. So if we feel like we need to do some Botox because, you know, having this line in the middle of our forehead is just making our life so miserable, just go get some Botox. You know, it's just like we need to be in tune. What really matters is to be in tune with what we feel is right inside of us. But as professional, we also have, like, I think, a responsibility to also talk about the side effects of that and also propose alternative without any judging anything. It's just like, I feel it's a bit like our responsibility to talk about that, just to make sure people are aware about the side effect of putting some Botox inside, you know, a wrinkle that sounds just like a miracle cure, but there is some side effects. Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, I believe in informed consent. I can't talk about body autonomy and then get mad if somebody makes a choice with their body that differs from my perspective of what's right. You know, so it's like, I completely agree. And I think about myself in my 20s, and I, you know, in your 20s, you think you're invincible. I wasn't thinking about, you know, drinking a ton. I was partying a ton. I wasn't prioritizing my health. Like, I just, it wasn't on my radar. And so, I, you know, you just described me, my autoimmune diagnosis was my wake up call in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm like really grateful for it. So anyway, I would love to hear a little bit more about your background, what you do professionally, and how you got into this line of work.
Yeah, so I'm an acupuncturist and massage therapist by trade, you know, and I've been working in the US actually, and in the UK. I was working on cruise ship for some time. So we were parked, I don't even know the right word anymore, in LA. And from LA, we were going, like, we went to Hawaii, we went to Mexico, Alaska, and my job was to do acupuncture, you know? And we work a lot, you know, on cruise ship. I was, I don't know, in maybe like, 7 months, I must have seen like 1,000 patients, you know, which is a lot.
Whoa.
Which is really a lot. You wouldn't get this amount of clients, on your normal, you know, practice based at home. So it was amazing for me. Just after from graduating from college, I started doing that. And I saw so many different conditions, which was fantastic for practice, you know, for practice. And it build up your confidence. You also see how much you don't know. But when you don't know, what is amazing is like you learn, you know, it's like really practicing is what makes you better, because, you know, you are faced with many cases you don't know. And what happened is, like, shortly after I stopped working on a cruise ship, I moved back to the UK, and I had a patient with Bell palsy. And Bell palsy, which is a paralysis of one side of the face that just comes out of the blue in a way. There is still no explanation for that. And that was one of the conditions I wasn't sure about. I wanted to do acupuncture, obviously, and some electroacupuncture, but I also wanted to do some massage, you know, some cupping. But the only kind of cupping we learn at school is a fire cupping, you know, when you put some fire inside of a cup to take the air out and quickly put it upside down, and it creates a suction. And obviously, I wasn't going to do some fire cupping on the face of my clients. So I simply Googled, it was back in 2011, so quite some time ago. And I just Googled, like, facial cups, like a cup for the face, you know, and I found it wasn't popular as it is now, you know, and I found this little silicone cup from South Korea. I just got them on eBay. and different color, and I just try them on my patient following different facial nerve, and it really made such a difference for her. Like, it was like amazing, you know. I did a bit of electroacupuncture and then I did some facial cupping. Really made a difference. And shortly after that, I had a patient who had like trigeminal neuralgia, which is the inflammation of a nerve, of the trigeminal nerve. And it's also very painful. And I said, what about I try the cup, sliding the cup along the nerve? And again, she was so happy. And I was so impressed with the result myself. You know, I didn't have, never had this kind of patient before, never learned about it at school. You know, it's like you're on your own, you do your research and you try this facial cupping and it actually works. So I thought, okay, if it helps a patient who has facial paralysis to regain some muscle control, what about all my cosmetic acupuncture clients? What about I start incorporating facial cupping into my cosmetic treatment? And I just tried, you know, like, I just tried myself, you know, and the feedback was so good. Like, I mean, I remember some clients that just wanted, they didn't want the needle, they just want the facial cup. I mean, I was, no, I'm going to put the needle first, you know, like an acupuncturist, you believe in your needle first. And and that's how it started, really. So all my, after I developed my own signature cosmetic acupuncture facial, so it was acupuncture and then facial cupping. And what happened is like lockdown happened in 2020 and I couldn't see my patient anymore. So that's where I decided to go online and start teaching facial cupping first to anyone, you know, like everybody can have facial cup if you follow the right protocol. You know, it's quite simple, but you still need to learn how to do it. I started with that. And after just a few months, I had so many requests of professionals wanting to learn how to do facial cupping professionally. So that's why I thought, okay, let's teach, because it's not, there is not so much out there, you know. It's like, it's kind of a niche, because you know, I never took a course, I just made it up, you know. And yeah, that's the beauty of it in a way, and then people wanting it, so I just gave it to them.
So I turned 40 this year, and I am definitely interested in all things aging and keeping my body and brain functioning at the highest capacity for as long as possible. So we have these things in our bodies called senescent cells. They're also known as zombie cells. They're essentially worn out cells that don't serve their optimal function, and they drain our resources. And they can accumulate in our bodies as we get older, which can lead to the symptoms of aging, like slower recovery, lower energy, sluggish cognition, and even aches and pains. But there are ways we can help the natural elimination of these senescent cells, and Qualia Senolytic is something that I've personally been taking in order to do so. Qualia Senolytic contains some of the most research-backed senolytic ingredients that are designed to complement each other, and you only have to take it 2 days a month. That's kind of my favorite part. So if you're in your late 20s or older, adding Qualia Senolytic to your routine can really play a crucial role in those aging symptoms. Go to qualialife.com/funks for 50% off and use code FUNKS at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's qualialife.com/FUNKS for an extra 15% off your purchase. Thank you to Qualia for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, podcast buddies, I want to take a sec to shout out Organifi Green Apple Juice. Yum. It's like a healthy apple juice with all the benefits of the original green juice. If you don't love the taste of the original green juice, this one is for you. It's made with organic apples that are hand-picked, Golden Delicious, Northern Spy, Macintosh, Ida Red, and Empire. So real deal apples are up in this blend. It also has the added benefit of 600 milligrams of ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen that helps the body cope with stress and can balance out cortisol levels. It also has really potent and nourishing green plants like moringa, spirulina, and chlorella. It's so good. You're going to absolutely love it. Order it today. Head to Organifi.com/funk, Organifi.com/funk, and you can save 20% off your order with the code FUNK. In yep. your course, so you have courses for professionals, but you also have yep. courses for, you know, people like
yeah,
myself.
It's like
do
yeah,
it at
so you
home.
get yeah. yeah, exactly. You get the cup at the same time you get the tutorial, and I explain how to do it because sometimes you know it's the same with Gua Sha, Jade Roller. I mean, you have this little tool in your hand. It's like, what do I do now? You know, so you can see like 6 second Instagram video. It's like, okay, let's do that, but. How do I clean? What do I do? Do I do it in the morning, in the evening? Do I clean my face? Once I've done the eyes, where should I start actually? You know, it sounds very simple, but you need some guidance, you know, to get the best result out of it.
That's exactly it. I had like half of my saved things on Instagram were like facial cupping and gua sha, but they were like little clips and I was trying to piece them all together.
Yeah, that's it. And you're like,
I would be like scrolling through, be like, I'm going to do this one now and this one now. And I was just like, this is for the birds. I'm not going to do this. I don't know what
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
doing. And so when I found your course, it gives you an exact step-by-step plan to do. And it's not this big, bulky course. Like I got through the course in like, a few minutes. It's not a big, huge time investment, but you understand what you're doing. And now I do facial cupping just about every night. And it only takes me 5 minutes, like a night. You know, it's not a long endeavor. And with gua sha, and we'll get more into like what facial cupping actually is for people who don't know, but we're... I love gua sha, but that's something that I'm like, I don't know exactly what I'm doing with this. I don't know if I'm doing it right. It feels like it's taking a long time. And so I never could really build gua sha as a habit into my day-to-day routine for whatever reason. But with cupping, I'm like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly where I'm doing it. And it's easy.
Definitely. It is easy. And it's not like with gua sha, you can actually... really play with the stone and you can do like a lot of scrapping movement and there is so much you can do. It's a bit more complicated in a way. With cupping is like, you know, you have three different techniques and you just follow the lymphatic drainage natural pathway and you start at your neck and you follow the pathway and you're done, you know.
So let's explain to people what cupping is. So they're little silicone cups and they're small so they can fit on your face and there's two different sizes. But what is it doing? You just mentioned the lymph. So are we moving fascia? Are we moving lymph? Are we moving both? Like what is the cupping actually doing?
Okay, so facial cupping is just a branch of cupping, you know, which is one of the oldest healing method. Like they have found like for thousands of years. Cupping was one of the oldest method to treat many different conditions. And facial cupping just grew in the past 20 years, you know, as a beauty treatment. Okay. So what is it? So it's a cup. It can be made of glass or it can be made of silicone or bamboo. The first cups were made of horns. Animal horns.
Oh wow!
That's how they would do it. They would take a buffalo horn, cut the end, and place the larger base on the skin and suck the air out, and you will create a suction. You know, that's how the first cup were. You know,
wow.
So now we have silicone. You know, which is easier. So this little cup, you have actually now three sizes, and you place them on the skin, and it's going to lift the different layers of the skin. Which is beautiful, you know. So it's a bit like a reverse massage. When you do a massage, you actually apply pressure. It also releases the fascia by applying pressure. But facial cupping is like a negative pressure. You lift the different layer of the skin. And what is beautiful in that is like you give some space, you know. A lot of time there is some fascia adhesion, even when we have stress, even, you know, we hold tension on our face. And that creates what we call in traditional Chinese medicine, stagnation. It can be stagnation of blood, stagnation of qi, stagnation of the lymph. By lifting these different layers of the skin, you encourage the blood, the lymph, the qi, the energy to flow. Okay. So people who, I often get this comment from people doing facial cupping, even just after the first session. Especially people who don't take good care of their skin, like who don't do anything. You know, if you start from very... if you do nothing to your skin, I would say, you will notice after one session a glow, you know, and it's not uncommon, you know, if you're like someone that really takes a really good care of your skin, you will not, maybe not see this glow as quickly, you know, but for people who do nothing, it's like day and night. And I have testimonial of people, I'm like, oh, wow, this is so beautiful. It's like very often we have so much stagnation because when we don't know, like when we apply our cream, our oil, you know, a lot of people don't realize the most important thing is actually the massage that comes with it. You know, like the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump, like the circulatory system. And it really relies on us moving, massaging in order for it to move. So somebody that is very, like doesn't have a very active life, doesn't do a lot of touching on their own face, doing facial cupping will be like, oh my God, you know, like I really moved the stagnation. Okay, so it's all about moving. It's all about the flow, you know, moving the stagnation. Okay, so what is really, yeah.
Well, one thing that I'll just say is that the two biggest things that I've noticed, like immediate, like you
yeah.
do one session and you notice it right away are
Yeah.
lips. So
Oh, your
like
lips. I
I
love the
don't have
lips, yeah.
a big, you know, puffy upper lip. It's a thin lip. What can I do? And there's the little flash cupping that you do with the little cup that makes a difference. And then also I have under eye bags. I think the lighting right now is pretty good. So you can't see them as much. Maybe it's because of all the cupping I've been doing, but I get pretty significant dark circles and under eye bags. And that the cupping around the eyes really seems to improve that.
Wow, that's beautiful. No, that's really good. Yeah, because often puffiness, you know, we think like, oh, we need to put a lot of cream. But in fact, sometimes it's just a sign that the lymphatic system is a bit sluggish. Though by reactivating it, we start to move excess fluid, excess toxin. And that this puffiness, you know, if it's linked with a sluggish lymphatic system, will really make a massive difference.
So you've said lymph a bunch of times, and I also want to in your course, you teach us how to open up the chest in the neck. So you start there. And I've had a few lymph experts on the show before, so I understand why that's so important. Can you just explain to people why? Because you would think, well, I want to work on my face, so I'm just going to start on my face. But why do we actually start on the neck?
Yeah, we always start on the neck simply because, okay, the lymphatic system, okay, is a one-way system. And it returns to the circulatory system at the neck. Okay. So even if you have like puffy legs, for example, you want to start at the neck. Because if the neck, the ending is blocked, okay, you might move the lymph at the bottom, but it's not gonna drain properly at the neck. So it's a bit like clearing the ending so the lymph node are ready to receive more fluid from the other part of the face or the body. I don't know if it makes sense. Like, for example, imagine you have a big double chin that is due to excess fluid and the sluggish lymphatic system. Imagine you do like that. You just do that, okay? But it's actually this part. It's not, I don't know if we don't see the video, right? It's only
Most
the sound
people
you're
will
recording.
Just hear this.
So imagine, so you're moving, you're using the cup under your chin, okay? Just under the chin towards the corner of the jaw. And nothing changed. Why? Because maybe it's blocked at the corner of the jaw. So first you need to clear up the neck, okay? And then, so it's clear, the ending is clear. It's like you move your way up, you know? The ending is clear, and then you can start doing it under the chin or under the eyes. It's a bit like you move with the lymphatic system and you start with the ending, a bit like a drainage blockage, you know, like if a plug, no, I don't know how we say in English, but yeah, so it's starting with the ending. So the ending is clear, so they can bring more fluid and can drain more fluid. Does it make sense?
It makes so much sense. It's
it
like,
makes sense.
Otherwise,
yeah.
it's just going to get blocked. If you're not opening, it's like where everything drains from. So if the
yeah,
drain
yeah.
is tight, nothing's going to leave.
That's it. That's what I wanted to say. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. That way the drain is blocked. You might, even if it's blocked further away, you know, like if the main draining is blocked, you know, you can do all the cleaning on the side. It's still going to not work. It's going to accumulate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't want things
That's it.
Accumulating. The whole
That's
reason
it.
We're doing this is to get things to leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you explain the difference between facial cupping and gua sha? Because I had a little bit of a hard time understanding the difference and which tool I should use when.
Okay, so I don't use gua sha on the face. I only use gua sha as an acupuncturist on my client, you know. Mainly also, so the aim is a bit the same as cupping, okay? Is to also move the stagnation. But with gua sha, we're going to do that with scraping, okay? Whereas with cupping, we're going to do it by lifting.
Okay.
Okay, so gua sha, when you do gua sha on the body, you really You do it quite vigorously, often when you have neck pain, neck and shoulder pain, and you scrub. And it's amazing. It becomes all red, purple, and you feel so much better. For the face, it's more like, it's more gentle and a bit of scrubbing along the line, you know, like, so you're moving the stagnation. It's really good actually for the lymph, gentle. You know, gentle moving of the lymph. With the cupping, we are actually lifting, separating the different layer of the skin, as I said before. So it's a bit more invasive cupping, I would say, a bit stronger.
And my esthetician does both. My esthetician Lee has actually been on your Instagram before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like looking through it. I was like, hey, there's Lee. She's local to me.
Oh, Lee. Lee. Yeah. Lee. What's her last name?
Don't ask me anyone's
last
name.
Yeah, Zarkozva or
it's
something
with
like
a
that.
Z.
Yeah. Lee, she's amazing. Lee, I love
Holistic
Lee.
Skin and Tonics is
Oh,
her
yeah. She
handle.
inspired me as well for the hair. Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
She
Oh, you're
is,
lucky.
I know, aren't I? She
You're
does both.
lucky. Yeah.
When she does the gua sha, it's on my face. It's so
Yeah.
gentle.
Soothing, no?
It's
Yeah.
very soft. And she says, like, you don't want to apply a lot of pressure because we're working
Yeah.
in the lymph. Lymph
Yeah.
is all like really, you know,
Yeah.
gentle, 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 whereas the
Yeah.
cupping is a little bit more rigorous. It feels like
Yeah.
more is
Exactly.
happening, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I would love to hear. So I have rosacea, and I'm curious if I've heard mixed things. Some people say cupping can really be great for
Oh,
rosacea, and some people say absolutely not. Okay.
No. I don't know who would say it's good for rosacea because it's like it would create more heat, you know. Like in Chinese medicine, rosacea is a sign of internal heat, and when you do cupping, you actually create more heat. You know, often you feel a little bit hot, you can feel a little bit red. You've been moving the blood, bringing blood more to the surface. And no, I really advise against rosacea. The prickly pear seed oil is fantastic for rosacea, but for cupping. No, you would not. I wouldn't recommend to do cupping for rosacea.
So fortunately, I don't have it too bad. I just have some like capillaries on my cheeks, so I just skip the cheeks and just
yeah,
do
exactly. You
areas.
Just keep that's it. Well done. Yeah,
That's
you just
fine.
do that. That's
Are there
perfect.
any other things, any other conditions or face, you know, facial situations where cupping would be contraindicated, where we shouldn't do it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So if we have very thin skin that bruises easily. Are very sensitive skin. So in this case, maybe gentle gua sha is better, facial dry brushing, facial yoga, you know, if you are like super sensitive. To do facial cupping, you still need to have like a medium to strong skin in a way, you know, like you need to be able to take on the cupping, you know. You can do very gentle cupping, you know, but you still need to have some collagen left, you still need to have some strength in your skin to make it even stronger. Okay, but if it's very thin and that bruises easily, I wouldn't recommend doing it. And I learned by experience, you know, like I had a client in the 70s, and I didn't know, you know, like me, I just learned myself, as I said, you know. It's just like I was experimenting, and the day after, her husband called the clinic I was working at, and he was like, "My wife is purple. What have you done?" You know, like,
Oh no!
and
So
she
it
was
left
so kind.
bruises on her face is what
Yeah,
happened.
lots of marks. It's not bad, like from a health point of view. So we're really moving stagnant blood, but from an aesthetic point of view, it's like. No. So I learned, you know. So if you have very thin skin that bruises easily, avoid any cupping. If you have any Botox or fillers, just do cupping in the area where you don't have Botox or fillers. For fillers, it's just like, just out of safety precaution. You don't want to move the filler. And cupping can be quite strong. So it's best not to do it. If you have a lot of moles, you know, just because we're not the dermatologist and you don't know, better not to cup if there is a lot of moles. A few flat moles is not an issue, you know, but lots of raised mole in one area, or skin cancer, that will be, or you know, any open wound, you wouldn't cup over
That
that.
makes sense. I take my hydration pretty seriously. When we're hydrated, we have more energy, less headaches, less brain fog, less muscle cramping, and more endurance in our workouts. Hydration isn't just about drinking water, though. Being optimally hydrated is about optimizing your body's fluid ratio, which depends on many factors, including electrolytes. That's why I lean on Element Electrolyte Mix with its science-backed electrolyte ratio of sodium, potassium, and magnesium, and no sugar. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any drink mix purchase. That's 8 single-serving packets for free with any drink mix purchase. It's a great way to try all the different flavors and see what you like the most. Go to drinkelement.com/funk. That's drinkelement.com/FUNK. Get ready to conquer your to-do list with Ned's Brain Blend. You know I love me some brain help. This powerful USDA certified organic tincture blends equal parts CBD and CBG with brain-boosting botanicals and medicinal mushrooms, providing functional support for improved clarity, focus, and mental performance now and further down the road. Ingredients include MCT oil, full-spectrum hemp, ginkgo, gotukola, bacopa, Siberian ginseng, lion's mane, and lemon. Become the best version of yourself and get 15% off Ned's products with code FUNK. Go to helloned.com/funk or enter code FUNK at checkout. That's HELLONED.com/FUNK to get 15% off. Thank you, Ned, for sponsoring the show and offering our listeners a natural remedy for some of life's most common health issues. And then what are the benefits? You post a lot of before after testimonials.
Yeah, love them.
What conditions have you seen clear? It seems like acne potentially.
Yeah, acne is a very odd one. You know, acne for cystic acne, it makes miracle. Like cystic acne, but not just on the face, also on the body. You know, like if you have massive cysts. We have a technique in acupuncture called surround the dragon. When we put the dragon is an angry cyst and we put needle around the dragon. But you can replicate that with a cup, placing the cup directly over the cyst. And within 24 hours, the cyst, 24 to 48 hours, the cyst disappear. It's just like fantastic for cystic acne. Cystic acne or any cyst. And if you have cyst on the body, it's maybe best you go see an acupuncturist and they put some glass cup on you, but you could also use your silicone cup yourself. Cystic acne, miracles. Hormonal acne, what is really good is to do it before having a breakout. And that can prevent another hormonal breakout. But if you have a breakout, I advise against doing cupping, simply because by doing the suction, you could spread the whiteheads and it could create even more breakouts. So if you have like a breakout, just don't do any cupping unless it's cystic acne.
Makes sense. And then obviously, I should have probably led with this, but fine lines and wrinkles, it's very good for that.
Yeah, it's so good because, also when you do cupping, you apply a good facial oil. Okay, so me, I'm a big fan of this prickly pear oil, but apply any oil that you like that is non-comedogenic. And the cupping will help the absorption of all the active ingredients present in the cream, in the serum, in the oil. So what it does, it really moisturizes the skin. It's like once you start to do facial cupping, it's like it almost never happens when you feel I have dry skin. And often premature fine lines, they appear because the skin is too dry, for example, not nourished enough. And by doing the cupping, you replenish, you're replumping the skin, you know, you're moisturizing it. So it's also very important the product you use with cupping. I also learned the hard way. You know, I was doing it with coconut oil when I started. I had no idea oil could be comedogenic or block pores. Anyway, don't do it with, with coconut oil.
Yeah. Let's talk about the oil. First of all, I want to say that I absolutely echo what you said about the dry skin, because I live in New Hampshire and it's the winter right now. And I like to walk outside. So I spent a fair amount of time outside and my forehead was like flaking off. It was so dry. Okay. And after I started, like maybe after a few couple weeks of cupping, I'm like, oh my gosh, my skin's not dry anymore.
Oh,
And I
that's
just went
amazing you did
away
that
on
too.
vacation. We were up in the mountains and I didn't bring my cups with me. So it's been a week of not. And the flaky is back. So it
That's
really,
very interesting.
isn't it interesting? Okay, so you said you're a huge fan of prickly pear oil. Why? Why do you love it so much?
Because simply it's also with experience, you know, it's like because I've tried it. I did so many mistakes, you know, like I did so many mistakes because I'm not a beauty therapist by trade. You know, I'm an acupuncturist. Acupuncturist, you don't learn about oil, you know. So you just think all oil you put on, you know, you just put an oil on your face so the cup can glide. So anyway, so all the oil don't have the same potent, and the prickly pear seed oil. The prickly pear seed oil, it's just such a beautiful oil. It's so complicated to make, you know. It's one of the most expensive oil to make in the world. Actually, it is the most because it's so complicated. Because cactus are free and they grow without water. Okay, but it's not the cactus we take; it's the seed. And the seeds, we need like 1 million seed to be able to produce 1 liter. And you need, they are very tiny, only 5% of the seed as oil. I mean, it's crazy. So you need to cold press for 8 hours, 1 million seed of the cactus to be able to do 1 liter. Okay. So it's a massive long process. But inside this little seed, there is so much goodness. So that's, yeah, that's a youth, youth. We shouldn't say that again, but. Youth elixir. I shouldn't say that. Aging
Vibrant, how about a
elixir.
vibrancy elixir?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. I mean, people who know, you know, it's like people who know good stuff. You know, like I had like you know, like nutritionist. Not long ago, there was an Ayurvedic practitioner that started using my oil, and she wrote me an email saying, "But Sakina, your oil is like wow." You know, people who know. They know, you know, and sometimes the smell can be very strong, and sometimes I feel a bit like it's because I had myself some batches where the smell is super strong and it's true, it's not very nice. Most of the batches is very earthy and it's actually quite nice, but sometimes it's very strong. But it's just very pure because I met my supplier. You know, I went to Morocco last year with my son to see all the whole process how he was doing the oil, and he does it at the in the back garden of his mom in Morocco.
No kidding.
It's amazing, and he only has two machines, you know. So and he hires somebody local, and for 8 hours it's like a cold pressing, and all the dry waste is given to the animal. It's very, you know, eco-friendly in a way, and it's so pure, you know. It's so pure, there is nothing added, and each time I make an order to my supplier, it's always a very small order. There is no stock, you know. I'm always like out of stock. It's really an issue, but it's always small stock, yeah, what I mean. So it's always so pure. Like it doesn't, it's like I have to ask him, like, Hamed, can you give me a, can I make another order? He doesn't do it in advance. And then I have to give him like 24, 48 hours for him to cold press and then ship it. But yeah, very pure, very beautiful.
So you do need to use quite a bit of oil. Let's say somebody wants the prickly pear oil, but you're currently out of stock. What would be another backup oil that they could use and try?
Yeah, I don't like any other oil now. Honestly, you know, so now I am on social media and some people want to send me their products.
Sure.
And I say mostly I said no, you know, but if they just want to give and without me giving any feedback, because I don't want to become like a, you know, like a selling platform. I don't want to do it for the money, you know, like I prefer to buy my stuff. Like some people wanted to give me, you know, this red light mask. And I
Yes.
hesitated because I really wanted one, and I thought no, otherwise I'm not going to be authentic anymore. So I bought myself a red lead mask. Anyway, so but I say yes if people want to send me their product, and so I receive so many oil and expensive oil as well, you know, like really. And I always go back to prickly pear seed oil. So when people ask me for alternative, I'm like, look, just use whatever oil you're already using if it's working for you.
But not coconut oil.
But not an oil that is comedogenic. So not an, so now all the oil have a grade. how likely they are to block pores, and you want anything that is below two, like two would be the absolute maximum. So you could use rosehip oil, hemp oil, any oil, the purest the better in a way, because cupping will encourage all the absorption or whatever you have in it. So it's best not to put anything with additive, you know, like pure is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
pure and not comedogenic. Non-comedogenic. Yeah.
Comedogenic.
Comedogenic.
That means it blocks pores.
Yeah. Something that doesn't block pore under grade two.
Voilà. Okay. Now, do you, like, let's walk through the process. Do you wash your face first and then you apply the oil?
Yeah. So also that sometimes people don't do that. You need to do it on a clean skin again, okay, because you're going to absorb anything. So some people ask me, can I do it while I'm oil washing my face? Can I do cupping? Well, no, because you will absorb your makeup. You know what I mean? It's like, you need to do it on a clean skin. Yeah.
Okay, so wash your face or do it in
wash
the morning
your face.
Before. I like doing it at night just because mornings are always like so busy and rushed. So I take my time at night. So I wash my face, I put on the oil, and then I do it. And you do need a fair amount of oil, so the skin is slippery.
Yeah, yeah, you do need. Yeah, it's when you need to be generous with the oil. Yeah, definitely. For the oil
Do you use the oil, the prickly pear oil, as the moisturizer, or do you put another moisturizer on after?
No, that's it. I mean, once you've done, I go to bed. So I also encourage to do it before going to bed, because at nighttime, the skin turns into the recovery mode. You know, it's where the skin regenerate at night, the hair grow at night, the nail grow at night. So the skin regenerate at night. So you do cupping at night, so you help the skin regenerate at night. You know, it's like, for me, it's like really important to do any facial before going to bed rather than in the morning. In the morning, you should protect your skin. In the evening, you should nourish your skin in a way.
Okay, I like
anyway,
that.
Anyway,
that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know. So you, so you put the oil. What did we say? What was the question again?
No, you answered it. You answered it.
Yeah,
oil
that's it. Yeah,
is the moisturizer, and then you go to bed.
Yeah, you just put a lot. Yeah.
You just mentioned hair, which is something that I want to ask you about, because you've been talking a lot about needle tapping. In this,
oh yeah, needle tapping.
Recently, this past few months, I've been like losing hair up here. And so now I'm like, oh gosh, this is something else I have to worry about now, is hair loss. But I'm very interested in this needle tapping, because you're using it for eyebrows, you're using it for hair on your head. What is it all about?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a tool that we use so much as acupuncturists. And you can use it, for example, for varicose vein. But I'm not telling you use your seven-star plum blossom hammer, it's called, on your varicose vein. Just go see an acupuncturist. But I decided, like, okay, let's teach how to do it for the hair, because it's one of the conditions we help the most as acupuncturists, with alopecia, for example, which is sudden a loss of hair, or for hair thinning, or to simply to encourage hair growth. Okay, so we do it quite a lot. And there was not much out there on the market either, you know, like nobody. I tried to find a course that somebody was teaching needle tapping. No one is teaching needle tapping. So I did the course, you know. So it's a little plastic handle. Okay, so it's plastic. It's recycled plastic, but it's still plastic. I actually tried with an engineer in America to do an alternative with silicone. I had a prototype, but it doesn't work. You know, it's too heavy. Oh. I don't know. I think I would need like a lot of money, but if someone has a lot of money and wants to create a new tool, you know, to create something not made out of plastic, but the plastic is so light and it works, you know. Anyway, it's recycled plastic, and it has a little head with seven blunt stainless steel needle that you will. So the handle is quite long, so it's super flexible. Okay, so it's like that, and you can. It's a regular tapping motion that will encourage the nervous system and encourage the hair follicle, and the blood circulation. So you just do this tapping. And it's a little bit painful, but it's a nice pain, like a strong massage.
Mm.
Okay, and you get used to it. And once you've done your full eyebrows, or once you've done your full head, you will feel like buzzing. You know, it feels so good. It's so invigorating. And it's not time consuming, but you need to be patient, like over 3 months. But anything to do with hair, it has to take time, you know, like
Of course. Right.
The hair cycle is quite long. Yeah, so it's a great little tool to have. I love using it. My husband, I wanted to, even yesterday we were in bed and he has his little tool, you know. I made a video because I'm sure people will think it's staged, but it's actually my actual view, you know, of my, I look at him and my mother-in-law, she went to live with us a few months ago, you know, just for a few months. And she was in the car tapping, you know. And so I make video, but it's actually not staged. It's pretty addictive, you know, and you feel it's doing something. So some people, you know, you can really see the difference on the eyebrow and on the hair, and it's really good. Yeah.
How often do you have to do that, and for how long?
It's just, it takes like 1 minute. You do it every day.
Okay.
You need to do it every day. So it's a bit, so you put it like I have mine, for example, where I have my earrings and all my products in my bedroom, so I can just take it, you know, it's easy access. And you just do like on the eyebrow is 5 times on each. So, and you know, tac, 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 like 5 tap to cover the whole eyebrow 5 times and on each eyebrow. So it's 1 minute. And for the head, if you are just covering one area, you would just do spiral movements, you know, from the outside to the inside, like that, just 1 minute. And you do it every day.
Yeah. I just went to order one last night, and
oh, you did?
I think
I'm out of stock. I'm always out of stock. Yeah, that's my issue, is out of stock. Yeah, but I had taken some stock from my UK to ship it to the US, but then in 24 hours it was gone. So now I'm waiting. I know it was crazy. So now I'm waiting for the new batch to come, and hopefully it's gonna be there next week. That's it.
Obviously, yeah. I didn't invite you onto the show to talk about your business and entrepreneurship, but I'm obsessed with business and entrepreneurship.
Are you obsessed? I would love to talk about that. I love businesses. I'm like completely, I see businesses everywhere. I meet anyone, I have a business idea for them. It's like, yeah.
Same, I joke, so much, I'm like, but you too? My toxic trait is turning every woman I love into an entrepreneur.
Are you too? Me too. I'm the same. I think I must annoy people. I need to stop sometime, but I'm like, why don't you do that? You know, like, yeah, I see business idea everywhere. Yeah,
it makes me so happy. But I just, it's, I get very inspired when people are like, oh, there's a gap here, there's a problem, and I innovate a solution, and I'm going to do that. And that's all I'm hearing from you is like, oh, I looked for it, it didn't exist, so then I created it.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
which I that's love. It,
yeah,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
yeah. And I also want to shout out that when you purchase the tools from you, you also get a discount on the courses, or you
it's
even
free.
Sometimes get
it's
the
free.
Courses for free.
For free. Just the acupressure course, because there is so much content. So I put it half price, but maybe I will change and put it for free. It's like, I feel for me, it's very important that if you have something in your hand, you need to know how to use it. So I make the effort into recording good courses. So you know what to do with the object, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I love that. So I'm so grateful that you came on the show to share some of these tools with my audience. And I will link to your Instagram, because there's a lot of really great videos just helping people learn and understand what you do and what the tools are for. And then we'll link to your website as well, so they can see the courses and all the different tools that you have. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
This was so exciting. And I just learned so much from you.
Thank you so much, Erin. I love your energy as well.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Functional Nutrition Podcast. If you got something from today's show, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, share with a friend, and keep coming back for more. Take care of you.